You're listening to the most exciting morning show in Tallahassee, The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on Tallahassee's only locally owned radio station, Real Talk 93.3.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee, it's The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Termite and Pest Control, Hearth and Patio, Southeast Portable Buildings, Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Mison, Blue Halo, QC Kinetics, and of course, delicious Grassroots Coffee. To Mark Zuckerberg, you suck. Really. You are seriously testing my patience today, bud. So let's just focus on the positives. Happy Wednesday! We've got Congressman Michael Waltz on the docket. From TallahasseeReports.com, the hyper-local news hound himself, Steve Stewart. And from the 24th Annual Chain of Parks Art Festival, Powell Grease. Plus, we've got Sliders, a sandwich revolution, on the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food. And now, if Facebook asks me for one more 8-digit password, I know exactly where I'm going to input said number. Greg Tisch!
Good morning, Matty Rowe.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tallahassee. Good morning, Apalachicola, Carabel, Thomasville, Cincinnati, and Mass. Currently, it is very nice outside. 64 degrees, going to be high of 80, cloudy skies early. Then partly cloudy this afternoon, slight chance of a rainstorm. Tomorrow, gorgeous, 56 and 81, mostly sunny. Friday, 64 and 81. Danielle Kelly will have the official weather forecast at the bottom of the hour. So a technical glitch yesterday prevented everybody from logging into Facebook,
right,
into Instagram, into Messenger, and also onto Threads.
Yep.
The entire world is back to having those.
Except for one person. And that's me.
Except for Matt. Matt cannot log back into his Facebook on the browser.
Yeah.
He's able to on his phone.
Yeah, I've got it on my phone.
But he can't. So Matt is learning this morning what it means to be an old man, because he can't figure this out, and it's frustrating the living crap out of him.
Yes, it is.
And so I was like, did you do this? Yes, I did that. Oh, did you do this? Yes. Did you do this? Yes, I did this. I did that. I did everything.
Mm-hmm.
Have you cleared out your cookies on your browser yet?
Yes, I have.
You have?
I have.
On the computer browser.
I did. I have done all of those wonderful things, and it just does not want to work on this computer for some reason. It keeps asking me for an ID, a picture ID, in order to confirm. But this computer
does not have a camera. You don't have. Set it up on your phone.
I do have it on my phone.
You have two-way identity set up on your phone?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And but for some reason, there's like this weird loop that's going on where
just with you, because yeah. I went in and logged in on mine, and
exactly.
There it asked me for, you know, we just sent something to your phone. Mm-hmm. I was like, boom, 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 done. Yep.
You know how bad it is? I actually erased. I took the app off of my phone yesterday, completely took it off, and then reloaded it and put it in. And then
that's where you screwed up.
At that point, I was actually able to log in from this computer on my home computer and onto my phone. But now it's not doing it over here, which is insane to me. It's like, what are you trying to do?
It's something you've done.
I have no idea, dude.
No, because everybody else is back.
Mm-hmm.
I had no issues whatsoever after the... Actually, I didn't really care. I was just like, oh, can't log in.
Yeah.
And I let you know because of streaming with Steve. I was like, hey... Facebook and everything, and Meta's down.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. But, you know, it came back up, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah. They were very, very, like, close to the vest on whatever the heck was happening yesterday.
They just said technical glitch.
Yeah. And then some people were saying that it was actually an update that was being done to the system. I don't know. And then, of course, all the controversy or all the conspiracy theories started popping up.
Oh, that's going to pop in within half a second. I was just I jumped on Instagram. And it said, can't refresh feed. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So mm-hmm. then jumped on Facebook and asked me to log in. So I just, you know, pointed to my face because I have that set up, which yep. you don't. That could be your problem also.
I do have it set up. It's just set so that it automatically opens.
But you, on your app, when it asks you for your password, you're typing it in.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have your face recognition set up.
Maybe I can set
which
that
would
up,
be but... we'll see your ID.
Yeah, that's true.
And you say because you're scared of passwords being saved on your phone.
Okay, let me clarify. Your old man is coming out. To that extent, I do have that old man thing. I don't like putting passwords and saving them onto a computer.
It's facial recognition once you put them in.
Yes, it is. But the thing is that I know I have a specific set of passwords that I use. And
what are those? And I also need your last four and your mother's maiden name and your high school mascot. Okay. Well, I got that, Lions.
Okay, Rajesh. What the problem is that I'm running into is that I have three specific passwords that I use for any of my accounts. And then what I do with those passwords is I will take whatever the thing is that I'm using and I'll add that as an extension to that password. So if, for example, if I'm doing Facebook, I would say password number one, blah, 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 dash Facebook. And then that way I always know what it is because I'm the only person that knows those three passwords. So it works out nicely because it's either one of three.
I'm on facial recognition on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yeah. What happens if your head gets cut off?
Then they're going to, they pry open my eyes and it won't get recognized.
Exactly.
So, well, good luck.
Yeah.
But don't worry because Matt can still see.
Yes.
He's logged in on the Greg Tisch Show Facebook feed.
Uh-huh.
It's just ironic. It's because remember when I got booted off, I had to log in under you, mm-hmm. or you had to save everything, and I had to, okay.
Yep, now it's vice versa.
So, all right, we're 64, John's 56, and Tony is 43.
Oh, okay.
So John's sitting nice. Tony, I guess, is nice for Mass.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably pretty comfortable over there.
John, what's going to be the high today? I would say probably, they'll probably be around 60.
Yeah, they're not even wearing those weird, like, mechanic baseball jackets that they have that don't actually have any sort of... logos or anything on them. They're usually like that olive green.
Oh, I was thinking like mechanical, like Back to the Future 2.
No. Oh, okay. No. Like, you know, the jackets I'm talking about, they look like baseball jackets, but they don't have any kind of,
yeah, I almost bought one. I literally almost bought one the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I saw, we were out shopping and then I was like, oh my God, it was just like the satin baseball jacket.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like $15. And I was mm-hmm. like, I don't need this. Do I need this? I don't need this.
Every once in a while, every few years, those things go back in style again.
I know where you can get one.
Except for in Mass. They do. They're popular all the time.
I know where you can get one.
Sweet.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
So, not bad. So send stars on the Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
You can, where there's an area where you can send stars. Please send stars to Matt so he can, or leave comments. Leave comments for Matt about how you're, and leave comments like, I'm on Facebook. And I'm telling you hello, Matt,
mm-hmm.
just to make Matt feel better about not remembering how to log in or not figuring this out.
Sure,
because it's frustrating him.
It is a little obnoxious the fact that
because
I can't
even though
do
he's logged in anything. Under me, he can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and I feel you.
The Greg Tisch Show will now be remarking different stuff just because of that. So that'll be fun.
Oh, I could log into Greg Tisch Show. We could really freak people out.
Oh, I know. Have multiple personalities going all at the same time. Yeah. Of course, that happens already. So it's people will just be like, "Oh, it's just the same old regular show."
When we get back, I want to talk about your grandfather.
Okay.
And something that's very difficult with your grandfather.
Okay. I'm not sure what you're talking about here, but
we'll find out
here in a second.
Sliders, the sandwich revolution is on the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food. Make sure you type in, I want to win, so you're eligible.
I don't know about you, but I absolutely love this damn show. Greg Tisch and Matt Eero will be right back. Greg Tisch.
Call 850-386-8255. That's 850-386-TALK. Real talk, 93.3.
Sponsor this half hour, Grassroots Coffee and grassrootscoffee.com. If you're looking for some of the best coffee you will ever have, look no further than grassrootscoffee.com. You can visit them there. Find the style you want. They will roast it up fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Grind it up fresh. Bag it up fresh. Autograph it. Mail it out. And I don't know if the mailman's fresh or not.
He's so exciting. So inviting to me.
So go now. If you haven't ordered from them yet, get 15% off their first or your first order if you sign up for their fam.
Yes. And I would guarantee it's going to be fresh. And I'm pretty sure probably your mailman is pretty fresh, too.
Exciting.
Your postal person.
It's fresh, exciting, and new.
Mm-hmm. Truth.
What have you ever gotten into a vehicle and had something in there that you didn't expect? Like a bee, you know, an insect flying around while you're driving. I mean, down at the beach, you know, you get no-see-ums.
Right.
They come in. You don't even have to have your windows cracked, and they find a way in.
Mm-hmm.
Lizards, you know, spiders.
Sure, yeah. I think all of those
a baby.
Things have, well, only mine. The only babies I've ever had.
Now, I hope you were never surprised when you got into a car and go, "Oh, here's my kid." And
hey,
I know
you
would. I know you never would be.
Of course not.
Except,
I think that just about everybody has had something like in the car that they were surprised by. You've seen the videos where a person has jumped out of their car because a bee flew in the window. And the car just rolls down the road.
Yeah,
it's like, what are you doing?
Roll down your window and turn your defrost on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be there either.
No. They're more than happy to fly out if they have the ability to do so. The one I never understood was flies are so efficient at flying around and avoiding you. And yet, if they get in the car, they're going to sit there and they're going to try and fly into the window, even if it's like wide open. They're going to fly over to the windshield. They're going to go bonk, 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 bonk.
Yeah, because they're like, holy crap, look how fast I'm going.
Yeah, exactly. They're like supersonic flies. So, yeah, I think that the weirdest thing that I've ever had in my car was a lizard once. Mm-hmm. And it was like on the visor. So I had that weird, like strange sensation that something was watching me when I was driving. And I just happened to look up, and there's this lizard sitting there.
Just a little chameleon lizard?
Yeah, little chameleon
little cuties,
lizard.
A little earring.
I was just like, whoa, hey, hello.
My mom, when I was 15, she had a Jeep Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And because she had like a bunch of those.
Right.
And when I went to take, right before I was going to take my driving test, that a skink had crawled in there.
Oh, good Lord.
Into the air conditioner vent.
And did it die? Oh,
so it didn't smell well for a little while.
Yeah, skinks are good at that.
And so it smelled pretty bad. So she had the air freshener
mm-hmm.
that she would spray. And so I had to take my driving exam with the smell of dead skink in the car with all the windows down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I passed.
Yeah.
All right, I just got to get out of here.
The instructor was just like, you know what? I'm passing you. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's go.
Milan Watt of Phoenix said she was sitting in her parked car with her boyfriend when she spotted something in her back seat.
Okay.
So he turned around, and she's like, something's in the back seat. So he turned around, and he saw a tongue flipping at him.
Ooh, a snake. See, that would probably make me jump out of the car, too.
Was parked at the time.
Okay.
I don't know what I would have done if I'd saw it while I was driving. I would have crashed a car, Watt said. She said her car is frequently, this is Arizona, is mm-hmm. frequently parked in desert areas, and the snake may have been inside her vehicle for up for 2 weeks.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And this is Arizona. Arizona has a lot of...
Rattlesnakes.
I'm getting a shiver down my back.
I was driving around. I may have been driving around with a snake in my car for 2 weeks. Well, probably not likely.
Mm-hmm.
We got really comfortable in that car. The snake made its home in there. She called 911, but was told emergency responders could not help her because there was no immediate threat from the snake. She posted a video of the snake in the back seat to TikTok. Diamondback.
Ooh, how big was it?
I'm opening up the video to see.
I don't even want to think about this. This just does not sound good at all. This is like a trigger for me. First we get Facebook, now I'm getting rattlesnakes. No, thank you.
Oh, what a cute little fellow.
No.
Aw.
Mm-mm.
Watt said her boyfriend ended up coming, opening all the car doors and using a tree branch to remove the intruder. Watt said she'll be checking on or under all the seats before driving from now on. I bet you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I
guess if it was able to be removed with a tree branch, it probably wasn't that big.
Oh, no, it was good size.
Did it have rattles?
It's a rattlesnake.
Yeah, but like, if it's a baby, it's just going to have a
no,
button.
No, this was not a baby.
Okay.
This was a good-sized rattlesnake. It was probably needed. It was probably going on a job interview somewhere, needed a ride.
Yeah.
the blacktop was a little hot. The asphalt mm-hmm. was a little hot. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
This car window's down. Let me get in there.
Something like that. Ugh, no, thank you. Dude, I've had too many experiences with snakes. And I think that the experiences that I've had with snakes is what makes me act the way I do around snakes.
And me too.
I mean, I just, no thank you.
Me too. With the experiences I have, what I think that they're amazing creatures.
Oh.
And that I'd,
yeah.
If it's a poisonous snake, you're on your own. If it's a non-poisonous snake, oh yeah, he or she and I are going to be really good friends.
Yeah, see, don't get me wrong. I appreciate snakes. I know that they are very important to our ecosystem. I appreciate the fact that they are out in my fields getting rid of all the field mice and taking care of any other populace like rodent or varmint that's out there that may be causing trouble for other stuff. That being said, I don't go near them. I don't touch them. I don't do any of that stuff. It is not for me. No freaking thank you. Mm-mm. No.
I'll try that, Tony.
What happened?
Enjoy coming to work tomorrow.
Stop it. I get in here before you, so I'm going to be able to find anything.
No,
that
I'll be here last.
No.
Today, I'll be here last.
Oh, you will, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dadgummit.
Tony just gave me a great idea.
Tony.
Matt Survival.
Tony, what are you doing, man?
We'll find out.
Stop giving bad ideas.
Remind everybody about your grandfather in England and how he was like, he won the EGOT, the yes. British EGOT before the EGOT was a thing. He was the
Correct.
First one.
He was the very first
to win
recipient.
EGOT and
he's
so.
Also a Tony Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
He was in many, many different movies mm-hmm. and he was a stage actor. He's been on Broadway. He was
tell everybody his
all
name
over the
again.
Place. His name is Paul Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
My son is named after him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an amazing guy. He passed away a few years back, but he was a very good man. And he was very kind to a fault, and just an amazing person overall. So every year, not every year, but whenever I got a chance to go over to England, I always got to stay with him at his house with his
okay.
with his lovely wife. And it was wonderful. It was
so tell nice. Everybody who the other Paul Rogers is, R-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Paul Rogers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He was in little bands. One was called Free. He was okay. also the lead singer of a little band called Bad Company, an English
band. Oh, yeah,
band.
Yeah, okay.
He also, that in 2004 until 2009, he was with Queen. It was Queen and Paul Rogers.
Right.
A very popular singer. So if you type in Paul Rogers on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
you can't find your grandfather.
Yeah. You have
because
to...
even if you spell it right and you do Paul Rogers actor, that any roles that Paul Rogers, the musician, has been in.
Yeah, it's going to pop up automatically.
Is popping up in there. And all I wanted to do was watch a movie with your grandfather in it the other night. And it's like you trying to log into Facebook. I became so frustrated. You know that in 2011, after Jim Morrison passed away,
mm-hmm.
it was revealed back in 2011 that Robbie Krieger of The Doors had already flown to England to offer Paul Rogers the job. They were kicking Jim out of the band.
Really? Huh. I did not know that. Interesting. Wow.
He was also okay. asked to be the lead singer of Purple when Ian Gillan left.
Hmm. Interesting.
So he started, instead of that, he started Bad Company,
mm-hmm.
which I swear to you, for my most of my adult life, I thought they were a Southern rock band.
Yep.
Just because I feel like Making Love is such a Southern rock song. But nope, English group. Be right back. Sure. We're going to talk a little Miami Beach.
You're listening to Real Talk 93.3, The Greg Tisch Show, with Matty Rowe behind the glass.
Plus this half hour, hearth and patio. Time to upgrade those grills, guys and gals.
Yeah.
If you're just completely disappointed by your lack of grilling or the product that you're putting out,
mm-hmm.
why are you sticking with that old grill?
Oh.
Let's get rid of it.
That's true.
Hearth and Patio has many to choose from. You can visit them online, hearthpatiotallahassee.com, or you can give them a call and schedule a time to go out and take a look at their amazing, amazing grills, 850-727-4282. That's 850-727-4282. One of the grills that they have that I really love, other than the all stainless steel all stainless steel keg is some of them that have the built-in LED lights on them, so you don't have to have your headlamp on.
That's nice.
You don't have to have your son or daughter holding the flashlight and yelling at them because they're not holding the flashlight in the same spot that the LED lights will just light up your entire grilling surface in the evening. They're just absolutely fantastic grills. Make the investment upgrade. Make your family happy. Make yourself, give yourself a little pride.
Mm-hmm.
Put pride in your grill.
And you know, it probably looks like a UFO when that thing opens up with the LED lights and it's like shining through the smoke and the fire. Dude, that looks awesome. Make my burger medium well.
Hmm?
Medium rare, sorry.
Hmm? I don't think you should have any burgers.
Why not? Burgers can be healthy. Burgers can be good. As long as they don't have fish in them, then they're perfectly fine. That's the way that works.
So I posted a couple days ago that, and at first I thought that this PSA that was sent out was a joke.
Okay.
And posted on TikTok, posted on Twitter, and on the Greg Tisch Show Facebook feed and or Facebook page. And it's tell me, Miami Beach, gorgeous. Go down to Lincoln, go down to Brickell, go hang around down there.
Mm-hmm.
Just gorgeous. I mean, with my parents, that's where they would go on the weekends.
Right.
Just when living, growing up in Miami, just go across the causeway over there. Miami Beach is, you know, Miami Beach is, or South Beach is completely different from everything. But
yes,
it is. It's the touristy area of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go down, and especially around spring break time, it can be very, very crowded. You want to go over to Cleveland, or you want to go, you got to do all the hot spots. But it's very difficult to find parking because they're just, it's Miami Beach.
Sure.
And so spring break has been getting popular down there the last few years, and it's been getting out of control. Last few years, maybe 20. And it's been getting completely out of control. Shootings, just drug deals, just...
Ooh.
Yeah. It almost Scarface-like, except with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people. So Miami Beach has done what Fort Lauderdale has done, what Daytona has done, and what Panama City Beach has been attempting to do.
Okay.
We don't want this anymore. We don't want you down here anymore. And they've literally come out with a PSA that says, it's not us, it's you. We're breaking up with you.
Really? They don't want the spring breakers coming in anymore.
The social media campaign comes a year after Miami Beach declared a state of emergency following two fatal shootings during spring break. It was the third year in a row that Miami Beach had to enact emergency measures to control disorderly crowds. The video ad shows several people who appear to be locals, I'm using air quotes, breaking up with spring breakers. It calls out the visitors who want to get drunk in public and ignore laws rather than enjoy the city's culture. It also shows clips of the chaos from last spring break, calls the incidents our breaking point. Miami Beach officials said the city would implement curfews, bag checks, restricted beach access, DUI checkpoints, and $100 parking fees.
Yeah.
It also said it would increase law enforcement. The city's plan to crack down on tourists was first unveiled in a news release. These measures will be in effect every Thursday through Sunday in March. On the weekends this weekend... and March 14th, there will be additional measures curbing spring break activities, including parking garage closures and street parking of $100, according to the Miami Beach website.
Oh, wow.
These parking restrictions not only will not apply to Miami Beach residents, access card holders, permit holders, or employees, because you live down there, you get a sticker.
Right. I got
you. So you can park on the street.
Mm-hmm.
NBC South Florida reported that spring break crowds were gathering in Miami Beach despite the restrictions on Friday, the same day the ad campaign launched. Online people expressed skepticism about the new rules that would inhibit college students from traveling to the city. Miami Beach Police Chief Wayne A. Jones. Dwayne Johnson. not Dwayne Johnson. Who was Die Hard? The entire police department is working extended hours during spring break. Jones also said the department would be using drone technology to assist in enforcement.
Yeah.
You come here, you have a good time, you behave, we'll invite you back. You come here, break the law, we're likely going to arrest you. They're using drones to scan parking or license plates.
Ooh.
And they'll be scanning the license plate to see if the person has a valid driver's license, driver license, to see if the person has a warrant, the registered owner of the vehicle.
Right. Wow. Wow. Okay. So they really are going to start cracking down on that sort of stuff. But what's going to stop them from going to another place instead of Miami? I mean, Miami is synonymous at this point with Spring Breakers. And I mean, when we were kids, it was Panama City and
Daytona
and places like that.
And then till those residents had enough.
Exactly.
I mean, because from the 50s through the 80s, and I think there was a movie called Spring Break with Doris Day. I don't remember who, way back, Where the Boys Are.
Okay.
Yeah. Is what it was called. And so these girls, we're going down to spring break in Fort Lauderdale. Black and white movie, you know, a 4-foot wide steering wheel driving right. down. And then Where the Girls Are, Where the Boys Are. I think it's Where the Boys Are. And it introduced everybody to spring break life in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was popular. I don't remember what year it came out, 56, 57, somewhere around there. Or when teenage culture was really in pop culture taking off. When pop culture started to exist.
Right.
Oh, for the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fort Lauderdale got really big, and then there was the spring break movie in the 80s, and then more spring break movies in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we're done.
Yeah.
And then so MTV said, well, we're going to do spring break, but we're going to do it in Daytona.
Right.
And MTV Spring Break Daytona just was huge. The amount of crowds that were going there were just huge. Then
insane.
Daytona kind of said, we're a little tired of you. MTV said, why don't we go to Panama City Beach?
Mm-hmm.
And then MTV did splits with Daytona and Panama City Beach, eventually going to Panama City Beach.
Yep.
At La Vila.
Club La Vila. Golly.
Where if you ever went to Club La Vila before they shut down, and that if you ever went there, you never need another shot for any kind of vaccination. You're covered
for
everything. You
are covered with everything. Literally.
So if you haven't seen the video from Miami Beach, it's on the Greg Tisch Show Facebook feed. I posted it. It says one day ago, but it's pretty telling.
Yeah.
They're just like, we don't want you down here. But how are they going to
change that?
Yeah.
Is the question.
You've got the ones that want to go down there and have fun.
Oh, sure.
And then, of course, drunken debauchery is part of that fun. You're a college kid. You're at spring swim break.
Of course. Of course. Even The Simpsons had a spring break episode where Homer went on spring break, and the sheriff of the location was just like, yep, boys will be boys, at least for the first week of the spring break. And then the second week he goes out and does the same thing and ends up getting arrested because it's like, they're gone. It's just you. So it is. It's weird that way that for like that 2-week period, everything goes, you know, you can do whatever the heck you want, and it can get a little scary.
And then with different areas, different schools having different spring breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something they need to coordinate up?
Oh, I don't know, man. If you had them all on the same spring break.
But they can't go at the same time. So you got Cabo San Lucas saying, come on, come on down here. You know, the drug dealer saying, yeah, come on down here.
Come on.
We would like to have you in Cabo San Lucas. And then also with South Padre Island is big.
Right.
It's all the same destinations.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida, it kind of just is travels around.
Yep. It's a moving traveling show.
I know that a lot of kids that they'll head to Alligator Point.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you do, make sure that you just clean up after yourselves. Please. With any beach you go to.
Oh, yeah.
Clean up after yourself. Respect the rules that there are private beaches that are over in the Emerald Coast area,
right?
That property lines down there go all the way to the water.
Correct.
And when you see a sign that says private beach, that's their beach. They paid for that. But in Franklin County, Wakulla County, it just, the beach is open.
Right.
Unless it says private property. Then respect that because they purchased that land there. Exactly. You can't buy the beach. Yes, you can.
Yeah. If you have enough money, you can.
I remember seeing all those arguments in Okaloosa and everything, people going out and camping on private property, and people going, this is private property. This is the beach. It's not private property.
Right.
And if you go and look at the property lines, it goes to the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember going, it's going to the water.
Right.
You know, if the people are being respectful, I'm cool with it.
But yeah, that doesn't bother me. As long as you're being respectful and you're cleaning up after yourself and you're not causing
But
any
that's probably what's caused those homeowners also to stop all that
of
because
course.
Somebody came out and just trashed it.
Yeah.
And I've seen just pictures of spring break past in Panama City Beach where they show the water line and all you see is just trash.
Yep.
Just beer cans and bottles just floating everywhere. And another thing, don't bring glass bottles to the beach.
Nope. Please
stop
don't.
That.
Bad idea.
Food segment. When we get back,
food.
I'll
segment.
Get off my soapbox now.
Step down.
Time to refill that coffee. We'll be right back with the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3. Welcome back to the most exciting morning show in Tallahassee, The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Maddie Rowe on Real Talk 93.3.
Hearth and Patio is our sponsor this half hour.
I know what you're
Anything
about to
fire,
do.
Anything fire, yeah. If you need a
Thanks.
Grill.
No!
If you do need to upgrade your grill, it's now time to do so. The time is changing very, very soon. It's going to get later. Or lighter, it's going to say lighter later.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be outside. Your family's going to be able to enjoy that. I mean, get a fire pit too. 850-727-4282. That's 850-727-4282. Or you can go online to look at all the amazing grills that Hearth Patio Tallahassee has at hearthpatiotallahassee.com.
Sweet.
Food yes. segment.
Food segment. I'm not really ready for food segment, but let's do it.
10 party appetizers that our editors from Southern Living always bring to a party.
And you probably get thrown out, too, because Southern Living has been doing some weird ones that just don't have stuff that you really want to eat.
Really? Because this first one, it just sounds delicious.
Let's hear it.
Whipped goat cheese with smoky bacon jam.
Yeah, you want to go next door. This is not where the party is. The party's over there. Go over there.
All right, let's fix this. We'll leave the smoky bacon jam in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're making the bacon jam on our smoker.
Yep.
Let's, instead of the whipped goat cheese, let's use whipped cream cheese.
That would be good.
Just straight up?
Yeah. Goat cheese has that weird goaty flavor, you know? I mean, it's you can
I
really taste
you
the goat in goat cheese.
I was going to cook some gator yesterday I had in the freezer, and I had defrosted it and I opened it up, and I was like, whew. I don't know if I can do this.
That's the other thing, is the gator
it's
is
so,
a hard
it's
thing.
It's so gamey.
It's very, very gamey. There's a reason that you fry most gator.
Because
if you're just trying to bake it, or if you're just trying to like grill
it
up.
I was
going to
air fry it. I marinated it, and I was going to air fry it. And I was like,
oh, no.
And then I was like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can
Did
do this.
Did you end up doing it?
No.
That's too bad. I was
yeah,
just thinking.
Yeah, that's what I gave you.
Oh.
No, that's not. I did chicken also.
Great.
So whipped goat cheese with smoky bacon is this person's go-to appetizer for all their dinner parties. You can make the bacon jam ahead and just warm it up before serving. It's always a crowd pleaser because it covers all the bases. Creamy, salty, sweet, crunchy, warm, and cool.
I will
people
say
bacon always
jam
ask,
is good.
People always ask for the recipe when they eat it. Ivy Odom from Southern Living. Mm-hmm. Ivy? No, they don't.
No.
They probably say, what's the bacon jam?
Yeah.
They never ask about the whipped goat cheese.
Yeah, they go, first thing they say is, what is this? And then you tell them, and they go, oh, that explains it.
Okay, this next one is bruschetta.
I do like some bruschetta.
But I don't, it's just, it's got to be the right consistency. Too hard of a piece of toast, and it just crumbles when you eat it.
Yep.
It has to be hard and soft at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe crispy on the outside, and then a little soft on the inside. And it's impossible to do that with every little single piece of bread.
It's like a Katy Perry conundrum. It's like you're hot, then you're cold. It's fresh, then it's mold. It's
no
hard, it's squishy. That kind of thing, I guess.
So it's just got to be just the right consistency. Because, again, when you eat that one that's been sitting out.
Right.
And you go and grab it off the charcuterie board and you bite it and it just crumbles everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, who did this one? Kimberly Holland.
Come on, Kimberly.
I'm with you, Kimberly. Spinach and artichoke dip.
See, that's a go-to.
Wee.
In a bread bowl with the pieces of bread cut out of the middle.
Oh, that's taking it up
around.
A notch.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to do those anymore.
But you know what? When somebody brings that to the party, they are welcomed with open arms. They're like, yes, come in. Welcome to the party. But otherwise, not so much.
I was trying to sing open arms.
I was wondering what you were doing.
But I'm not doing it in the bread bowl. I'm doing spinach dip in the bread bowl. I'm not doing spinach and artichoke dip in the bread bowl. I'm doing spinach and artichoke dip just in a regular, you know, casserole dish or something.
Yeah, because the artichoke part of that spinach dip can get a little bit hard to scoop.
And also, I'm kind of tired of bread bowls, maybe since COVID, because I know that you got to break up that bread with your hands. I don't want your old nasty hands all over pieces of bread.
Yeah.
Okay, this one. And so thank you, Kimberly Holland, for that one. The next one is Alana Ahalati.
Okay.
Asparagus ribbon crostini.
The what?
It's basically, it's carved up French bread.
Okay.
And then she's taken asparagus and literally cut the asparagus in little ribbons. She's made asparagus noodles.
Okay.
And put it on top of this bread, what looks like some kind of cream cheese.
Okay.
Oh, they're croissants. Crustini.
Got it. All right. I'm trying to visualize that as noodles. Because you can only get down so far before it starts getting sort of
woody. Baguette slices.
Okay. Little baguette slices. Mm-hmm. All right.
So it's a ricotta cheese. It's on
ricotta,
the top.
Ricotta. Mm-hmm. Good. And that's pretty good.
With asparagus ribbons. So you just put the asparagus along and just Lorena bobbed it long ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, that one's a hard one because there's a specific demarcation of like asparagus, and then you get like the woody piece that starts to sort of break off in filaments.
Well, you got
to
cut that right at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, but
so
yeah.
No, Alana, we are not with you because again, even though if it is good, because we love asparagus,
mm-hmm.
it's just the amount of time.
Yeah, that's a lot
to make
of prep.
Asparagus noodles,
mm-hmm. And then how long do they stay like noodly too? Because asparagus is one of those ones that starts getting sort of floppy and mushy after a little while.
This one, Kimberly Holland, again, who we already like. Sweet onion bacon dip.
Sweet onion bacon dip.
Bip!
That does sound good.
I would stick my head in that onion dip.
Mm-hmm. That sounds delicious.
Mm-mm-mm. A good onion dip with some nice Triscuits, even mm-hmm. some potato chip, handmade potato chips. Smitty's had some amazing dip. Oh, here we go, pushing this again. Thanks, Josh. Cheese straws. The official snack and everything of Southern Living for 2024. Every article we do about appetizers, whether it's your grandma's favorite appetizer, your granddad's favorite appetizer, the cousin down the street, we're going to put in cheese straws. Let's make sure that happens, everybody.
I still don't understand what the allure is to a cheese straw. And to my knowledge, they're kind of hard to make, too.
They're light, crispy, buttery, cheesy, spicy. Basically, the perfect food. Plus, you can make them ahead of time so you aren't having to hustle before the party guests arrive. Josh Miller. This next one, Caitlin Yarbrough.
Mm-hmm.
We like Caitlin because she is bringing jalapeno popper dip.
Right there.
Jalapeno popper dip.
That is good.
But you got to eat, though. You got to take your tortillas mm-hmm. and then make fresh dipping parts.
That's true. That's true.
You can't use, like, Tostino's scoops. You can, but it's much better with, like, a fresh, hot,
mm-hmm.
you know, piece of tortilla.
With little fleckles of salt that are just sticking on there.
Flour tortilla.
Yeah.
Or do you use corn?
Corn tortillas would be pretty good.
But they wouldn't fluff up as much as the flour.
Yeah. If you're making, like, fresh corn tortillas in oil, there's really nothing better than that.
Editor-in-chief Sid Evans loves these. They take a bit of an effort to make, so I'm out on that. Tiny tacos. These are like bite-sized tacos. They're tiny tacos.
Yeah.
Tiny little tacos.
What is this?
A taco for ants? So, no, I'm out. They look good, Sid. If you want to make them, Sid, I will eat them. Mm-hmm. I will eat a lot of them.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna eat like
they're literally the size of a slice of lime.
I'm gonna eat the equivalent of 10 regular sized tacos in mini tacos.
Pimento cheese flatbread. All right, this is from Josh again. And the final one, which I'd always love to make.
Yeah.
Just some hot crackers, just some spicy coated saltines.
Yeah. Sounds good. So that was my nickname in high school.
No, it wasn't.
Let's take a look at your total comfort traffic from Berno Heating and Air Conditioning.
Looking pretty light out there right now, but that is going to change, I'm sure, very, very soon. If you do see anything, give Maddie Rowe a call, 850-386-8255. That's 850-386-8255. Picture this, Matt. A cozy restaurant with a warm ambiance serving the finest dishes in town. That's the Blue Halo. Whether you're looking for a romantic dinner for two or a fun night out with friends, The Blue Halo is the place to be. Join us at our Bannerman location and experience a perfect blend of great food and atmosphere. The Blue Halo. Come for the food and stay for the vibe.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the capital city, it's the Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by QC Kinetics, Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Nissan, Southeast Portable Buildings, Hearth and Patio, Paul's Termite and Pest Control, and Blue Halo. And now, what is Britney Spears' favorite kind of coordination? Hand eye. Greg Tisch.
Thank you, Whitney Houston.
No, that's hand eye.
Whitney Houston.
Yes, but
Dolly Parton.
Yes, that's true. But Britney Spears does, ooh, baby, baby, hand eye. That way. It was a little different.
I think you lost everybody on that.
Yes,
one.
I did.
But good morning.
Sure. That's what happens when you don't write a joke for the first part. You just have to sort of wing it from what was coming up in your brain as you're driving in.
Let me know when you're going to wing it.
Okay.
When you come up with one. Currently 64 degrees in the capital city. Going to be a high of 80 degrees tomorrow. Beautiful day.
Fun.
Convertible day. It's against the law to drive around with your convertible top up tomorrow. 56 and 81. Friday, 64 and 80. Mostly cloudy. And rain on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Danielle Kelly will have the official weather forecast at the bottom of the hour. Congressman Walz unable to join us this morning. Oh. He's busy. He's a congressman. There's a lot of stuff going on the Hill.
Exactly.
So since he can't make it, we'll do the AP Top 25, which we forgot to do yesterday.
Damn it. Seriously?
Yes. Here you go, Judge. I don't know why you're so upset with this each and every week. You've had 2.5 years...
I understand that.
To prep for this.
I understand that.
All right, I'm going to set. I'm thinking you did really, really well last week.
You
only missed like three or four.
Yeah.
And we even went over one over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
We went over certain schools, so it would be embedded in your brain that you would get it.
That's right.
So I'm going to set the over under at 5 because I think last week was a fluke.
It may have been.
And
who
I think
knows?
That you are going to forget the school that we went over and over and over about. You've already forgotten.
Which one is it? The Marquette? The Marquette? Marquette? No. Marquesh?
No.
Mayor.
Number 25 out of the Atlantic 10, down 4 spots at 22-6, Dayton. Told you.
The Flyers.
Damn, good job, son.
Yes!
You are going to be cruising now.
Aha!
Number 24 out of the American Athletic, up 1 spot, South Florida.
The Bulls.
Number 23 out of the West Coast Conference at 24-7, down 6 spots, St. Mary's.
The Gales.
Out of the Mountain West, 24-5, Utah State.
The Aggies. Is that it?
At number 21.
Yes! Sweet!
Out of the Mountain West, San Diego State.
The Aztecs.
Could today be the day?
Don't. Hey, you know you're not supposed to say anything about a no-no if it happens.
Could
so
today
zip it. Zip it.
Day?
Zip it.
I think he's gotten out of the tough ones, guys. Today could be the day, but it's not going to be. Number 20 out of the Big 12 at 21-8, BYU.
Brigham Young University. That is the Tigers? No. BYU. Brigham Young University. That's
one of the easier ones.
I know, and I can't remember.
Number 19 out from the West Coast, 24-6, Gonzaga.
The Bulldogs.
Out of the Pac-12, 23-7, Washington State.
The Huskies. No! No, it's not.
Number 17 out of the SEC at 24-5, up 1 spot, South Carolina.
The Tar Heels. No, the Wolfpack. No, the Gamecocks.
Out of the SEC, down 2 spots at 29, Alabama.
Crimson Tide.
Out of the SEC at 15, 21-8, Kentucky.
The Wildcats.
Out of the Big 12 at 21-8, down 7 spots, Kansas.
The Jayhawks.
Out of the SEC at 22-7, down 2 spots, Auburn.
The Tigers.
At number 12 at 22-7, out of the Big 10, Illinois.
The Illini.
Number, also out of the Big 12 at number 11, 21-8, Baylor.
The
Bears.
Number 10 out of the Big East at 22-8, Creighton. If you say barrel, you get dinged twice, and it counts for two.
No. Creighton is the Golden Eagles? Dang it.
Out of the ACC, 23-6, up one spot, Duke.
Blue Devils.
Out of the Big East at 22-7, Marquette.
That's the Golden Eagles.
Out of the ACC at 23-6, up two spots, your University of North Carolina.
The Tar Heels.
Out of the Big 12 at 23-6, up two spots, Iowa State.
Iowa State, is that the Cyclones?
Out of the Pac-12 at 23-6, Arizona.
Arizona is the Wildcats.
Out of the SEC at 23-6, University of Tennessee.
Volunteers.
Out of the Big Ten, 26-3, down one spot, your Purdue.
Boilermakers.
Out of the Big East at 26-3, up one spot at number two, ladies and gentlemen, your UConn.
UConn Huskies.
And at numero uno.
Number one.
From the Lone Star State out of the Big 12 at 26-3. The Houston.
Red Raiders? No.
You missed five. Boom. Boom! I
See,
guessed it.
And you jinxed me.
Okay, Houston, Bonefish.
Cougars.
Okay. Creighton.
Creighton, is that the Blue Jays?
Yes.
Dang it. As soon as you said Creighton the second time,
South Carolina,
like,
you
if it's not that
South
one,
Carolina, you finally got.
Yep.
With the Gamecocks. Washington State, Bonefish.
Mm-hmm. The Cougars.
Mm-hmm. BYU, Bonefish.
Cougar skin? Dang, man. When in doubt, Cougars or Wildcats. So, Cougars.
Which are one in the
this
same.
This one is Cougar heavy this time around.
Bonefish.
Like 5:30.
It's 5:30.
Yeah, everybody's gotten off from work.
It's 5:30 in between paychecks.
Yeah. They're like, woohoo! Let's go.
Very Cougar friendly. Five.
Oh, my
five.
Goodness.
The judge is upset with you because, one, you can't log into your Facebook and you don't. And
yeah,
you
she can't even rip on me. It's like.
Oh, she can rip on you. Oh, everybody's been tagging you.
Oh, great.
Make sure you tag Matty Rowe on the Facebook Live because he forgot how to log into his Facebook.
I didn't forget how. Mark Zuckerberg has it in for me.
No, he doesn't.
He absolutely does.
No, he doesn't.
The Zuck sucks. He's not cool. I don't like Zuck.
Everybody's fine with him. They were mad for 1 hour yesterday, but somehow you have done something to where you can't log back in.
He doesn't want me to log in because I know the secrets. I know what he did.
So my I've been going down some serious rabbit holes with newspapers.com and doing my research for the Gerald Emsley Memorial Project. And the other day when I was looking up some stuff, that I ran across a review from Star Wars.
Ooh.
And from 1977. It was here. And it was from my friend Rick Oppenheim. And I saw the name. And I was like, is this the same Rick that I know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent him a message. Like, did you used to work for the Democrat when you were a kid? He's like, yeah, when I was 24, 25, I did entertainment reviews. I was the man across town. I said, I found your review on Star Wars. And I said, I'm about to tag you on a Facebook post.
Right.
And then put up his review on Star Wars. And he's like, oh, you've made my day, my year, my decade. And then he sent me another message. And he goes, I've shared this with my daughter and my granddaughter, mm-hmm. who are huge Star Wars fans, as I became after I watched that movie back in 1977.
Right.
And he goes, I've just shared this with three generations.
Aww.
And that he watched it at Capitol Cinema. And I was like, that's where I watched it. That's where I fell in love. But my only outlet back then to see Star Wars stuff was to get the paper every day. And to see that ad for Star Wars playing,
mm-hmm.
even if it was just generic and didn't have the photo,
right.
you still saw Star Wars. How crazy that is.
Yeah.
That now I can go and watch deleted scenes, making ofs, everything. But back then, I had an album, mm-hmm. The Story of Star Wars, and the paper.
Yeah. This is the sound of Greg Tisch actually waking up in the morning to look at the paper. It's very
look
fun.
At the what?
To look at the paper. The paper, you know. It's a good thing.
We'll be right back with the Greg Tisch Show on Tallahassee's Real Talk Station, Real Talk 93.3. You're listening to Real Talk 93.3, the Greg Tisch Show, with Matty Rowe behind the glass.
Are you craving delicious food served with a side of fun? Look no further than the Blue Halo. Our chefs create mouth-watering dishes packed with bold flavors and fresh ingredients, guaranteed to satisfy your cravings. From sizzling steaks to pork chops, Matt's favorite. The fresh seafood, my favorite. They got something for everyone. And don't forget to try their signature cocktails and happy hour. Best happy hour in town. Weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Visit us today at Blue Halo out in Bannerman Crossings. Come for the food, stay for the vibe.
That's right.
But you're craving a pork chop now.
And their bar is so cool. I love their bar. It's just, it's so well set up, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, everything about Blue Halo is awesome.
So Nick Schwartzen, he's hilarious.
Okay.
The comedian?
Yeah. Not the guy from Parks and Rec. That's Nick.
No, Offerman. Not that, no.
Yeah, okay. Nick Schwartzen. Okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about now. Okay, I got you.
So he actually co-wrote Malibu's Most Wanted. Malibu!
Mm-hmm.
He played character. He was Grandma's Boy. He's been in a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
Yes, he has.
Blades of Glory, Reno 911, Miami, Click. He was a Bed Bath & Beyond guy. Don't Mess with a Zohan, which is an underrated. Don't Mess with a Zohan.
That's
it's
true.
A hilarious movie. Watch it with your kids, everybody.
Mm-hmm. No, he was on Reno 911 the skater guy. He was
Reno 911 Miami.
Yeah.
You know, just said that.
Oh, sorry. He was on regular Reno 911 as well. So,
28 episodes. Yep.
Yeah.
He was in the Benchwarmers.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff. Well, I don't.
Yeah.
He went on stage in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen footage of this. And this dude was high and drunk as a kite.
Yeah, he does imbibe a bit.
No, not like this. He went up and he's just up there standing around. And literally one woman said, "What did you smoke before you got on stage?" Welcome to Colorado.
Wow.
And he's trying to get out a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he just can't.
Mm.
He is hammered. He is stoned.
Yeah.
And so he's up there for like 20 minutes, and the organizers are going, "What the hell do we do?" They're like, get it together. Huh. You can literally feel them screaming off stage.
Right.
And so 20 minutes into his set, somebody just goes and gets him and just pulls him off.
He was up there for 20 minutes? Holy cow.
And he got booed, and it was just nonsensical, and he was headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so he issued a statement yesterday. Just casually woke up on TMZ, he wrote on X, referencing the news website article about the tank performance. Travel trip. Don't drink and take edibles in high altitude. Ooh. Brain diarrhea. I'll make it up to you, Beaver Creek. The Hollywood Reporter reached out to representatives for further comment on the incident, did not immediately hear back. In the video, Swanson is seen at the Performing Arts Center attempting to get an impression of action star Jason Statham going. Instead, he keeps repeating over and over, "Here we go," and Jason Statham as the beekeeper.
Right.
To an increasingly angry audience's chagrin. "You suck," someone's heard. "No," several audience members reply. If the comic asked if they wanted him to finish, if he wanted them to finish his Statham bit. The comic, who is known for his stand-up, is known for his work. Adam Sandler moves, we know, whenever right. that. "So we decided to conclude the show early in the best interest of those who bought tickets. We apologize for what you've seen tonight. Please email the box office. We'll be responding to inquiries and processing credits and refunds." So he needs to go back there, let everybody back in,
yeah,
and redo it.
Absolutely. And he has to do it just completely dry, because that way they'll actually get a show that they are going to appreciate. Now, this is not actually the first time that this has happened with Nick Schwartzen, if I'm not mistaken. He had a place or a point where he almost died from an overdose a few years back. So it's unfortunate that this is a continuing thing that's going on with him, because that's just, that's no fun at all. So it's unfortunate that sort of thing can happen. But then again, he was also up in Colorado. So that's,
try this edible.
Higher altitude.
Yeah, does that really matter?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I've drank in the mountains. It's no different. Well, of course, that was Utah, and then the alcohol's lower.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about, is that when you get up higher, the alcohol content will hit you. Yeah. But then if you're also eating an edible, depending on how high that thing was.
Yeah, if somebody says, "Here, try this edible."
Mm-hmm. Like 45 minutes before you go on the stage? Not a great idea. I don't know, man. That one sounds a little spooky to me.
Florida legislatures yesterday unanimously passed a proposal, SB 522, to change the name of Tallahassee Community College to Tallahassee State College.
Hey, right on.
The final approval came just days ahead of the 2024 regular legislative session scheduled to end on Friday. TCC remains one of the only two colleges in Florida's college system's 28 schools to still have community college in its title. The bill next heads to Governor Ron DeSantis. If and when signed by him, the name change becomes effective July 1st.
Right on.
That's very cool.
Pretty fast.
So, at the bicentennial celebration, I'm throwing out the first pitch. And usually I like to include you in a lot of things that I do, mm-hmm. especially for our show.
Right.
And there are some things that I just know you're going to turn down.
Right. Anything turn down for what?
Sports related, you're going to turn down.
You know what? That's actually kind of true.
So first,
I just don't want to embarrass myself.
First pitches,
mm-hmm.
you're going to turn down. So Bren has asked me to throw out a first pitch at a softball, mm-hmm. at us.
Right.
To throw out a first pitch at a softball game. And I said, okay, I can do it. I don't think Matt will want to do it.
I can probably catch. Nah.
No, because I will hurt you.
What?
No, because I can't.
It's softball.
Dude, we're half blind.
That's true. Neither of us know where the ball is going.
Nope.
Where'd it go?
TikTok video. Okay, you're doing it. And then Chuck, the AD, ran into the bicentennial party. He said, oh, I'm so glad that I saw you. Brian and me, we want you to come and throw out a first pitch for a baseball game.
Oh, cool.
Which I've done two times prior, and I've Correct. Never made it across the plate.
Mm-hmm.
55 feet, both things. I don't know why I get incredibly nervous in front of actually seeing people when half my career was seeing people. Now I just look at you, and I'll be looking at Steve in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it again. So there's going to be the end of March, end of this month, do the softball on Thursday and then baseball on Saturday.
Ooh, you're going to be icing your shoulder the next day.
It's one throw.
Two throws?
Oh, yeah, two throws.
You have two throws. Yeah. And you're going to need to practice to prep up for the dang thing.
Because it gets in my head. Here I'm playing with these student athletes that are really good at this sport.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time, I mean, it was like every other ball was going over the guy's head.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so sorry, dude. I'm so sorry.
Well, see, that's the other thing is that
maybe
when
I
you
can
go to
pickleball
that,
in the first pitch
with the paddle. But that's one of those things. Like as you get older, you're like, you know what? I if I'm going to do this, I got to bring it. So,
well, or should I go out there and pull an Obama and go out in mom jeans and just wreck it, or should I do a 50 Cent and then go out there? 50 Cent is
throw
is
it to
probably,
the first base coach.
Probably the worst first pitch of all time. The best first pitch of all time, in my opinion, George Bush 2001.
I agree. That thing was right down the middle.
Oh, it was just the perfect. It was a nice curveball, perfect strike, and that was like when the country needed like the perfect first pitch.
Oh yeah.
I mean, as silly as that sounds, that was an amazing presidential moment.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was just like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go and watch the crazy first pitches. I've had them. Mine, and I've told you this, mine was so bad the last time I did it a couple seasons ago
mm-hmm.
that the ball went between the catcher's legs, went to the backstop and got stuck. Dude faked it like he had caught it.
Right.
And ran back out and posed for the picture. That was my MVP, was that catcher.
Yeah.
When we get back, Steve Stewart from Tallahassee Reports. Make sure you go to TallahasseeReports.com during the break. Click on the subscribe button. Make Steve very, very happy. Keep posting those comments about Maddie. No Facebook Maddie.
He's above the fold and behind the mic. It's Steve Stewart from Tallahassee Reports on the Greg Tisch Show.
See any creepy crawlies around your house? Call Paul.
He'll get them all.
850-386-BUGS. That's 850-386-BUGS. They'll come out and get your spiders, your Prego spiders,
mm-hmm.
your Asian lady beetles, whatever you have trying to invade your house. Paul's will get rid of them. If you call them today before noon, they'll be out today before 5 p.m. That's Paul's Termite and Pest Control. Same day, Troopmont Guarantee. In studio with us from Tallahassee Reports, the man, the myth, the editor, Steve Stewart. Go to TallahasseeReports.com. Click on the big red subscribe button. Make them very happy. What's up with this fire service stuff? Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Missed you last week. I'm glad you're feeling
better. Yes, I am. You know, we go through those stages there. But yeah, good. Ready to go. Yeah, lots to talk about. A lot of stuff going on. You know, I heard we exchanged some text messages, and I didn't think about it. Sometimes when you're in the weeds with this stuff, you assume everybody else thinks the way, you know, knows everything.
I was looking to you for answers last night.
Yeah. So, you know, fire service is a very interesting thing. And this happened 15 years ago. The city runs the Tallahassee Fire Department, which provides services throughout the county. It's a consolidated service. Now, how did this happen? Well, it used to be that you paid for your fire services through your property tax, just like police officers. Well, back in the day, and this is back when, this is like in the mid-2000s, goes back, I think it was Andrew Gillum and Brian DeLoge with the county and the city got together, and they structured this fire services fee, which took it out of your property taxes and put it on your electric bill.
And your utility bill, unless you're in the county.
In your county, then you pay, they collect it some other way. But what happens is they take, the city charges city residents a monthly fee for fire services.
Okay.
It's on their bill. And the county charges people that aren't in the city a fee for fire. And it all goes into a bucket, which is there's this interlocal agreement between the county and the city and the county. But the city is responsible for providing the services. So basically what it is the county is subcontracting out with the city to provide fire services in the outlying areas.
Now, let me ask this about the outlying areas in case there's other people that don't know. There are the outlying areas, chairs, all these are the staffed fire departments, or are these volunteer? I mean,
there are
paid,
some,
or they volunteer.
There are some volunteer departments, but there are staffed departments. I mean, they're out in they actually build fire stations in county areas because part of your fee is based on how far you are from one of those those areas. So if you have that structure in place, this explains why the Tallahassee Fire Department is negotiating with the city of Tallahassee. And the Leon County is sort of on the periphery, right? Well, they're on the periphery, but they still are collecting money and giving it to the city. So they do have an interest in what's going on. Hence the entrance of Commissioner Bill Proctor into the process because of the length of time that this negotiation with the fire department is going on.
What Commissioner Proctor said, hey, I'm coming in. I'm going to be the mediator. I'm going to make this happen.
Right.
Which, did that strike you as odd?
Well, it doesn't if you understand the process.
Okay,
because he's got constituents. Mm-hmm. He's got constituents that are getting fire services. And this has been going on for a year. And so he's like, you know, I'm going to see what I can do to help. This is what happens when things drag out. When things drag out and don't get settled, that provides opportunities for other things to happen along the way. It becomes a political issue. You get people like Commissioner Proctor wanting to get involved. Now, as I told you during the break, if I was an elected official, the first two things I fund is
fire and police.
Fire and police. All right. Now, having said that, there's two considerations here. There is the political consideration, which politics is involved with everything. When I ran for office, police unions, fire unions endorsed candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a horrible idea. They've been doing it for years. I've asked them about it. They said it's tradition. Well, you know what? You're picking a side. Tallahassee Fire Department, they basically endorse the progressive wing of the city commission. They're not in control. So does that have some impact? You know, if you run ads against the guy you're negotiating with for an increase, I can't imagine that it's not going to have some impact. You can say it doesn't.
Okay, how the fire union, how they endorse Dozier during the last mayoral campaign, and now...
And it's not only an endorsement, it might be how involved you are. So look, that's that. Like I said, that's one of the elements involved. Should you get over that if you're an elected official? Probably, but depends on, you know, right now we're in an environment where there's a lot of personal shots taken, right? And so that's one issue. So maybe let's say that is not the issue. The second issue is the finances, right? You've got to be sure that you are... If your fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers to make sure that you broker a deal that rewards the firefighters and in the same time promotes fiscal responsibility. Now, we've had the fire department union on our show try to get into the numbers, and we're going to do that. We'll do it again. But from what I saw from both sides, the difference in negotiations is like $1,000 a year between the city and the fire department per firefighter. Okay. So if you say it's $1,000 a year and there's, 200 firefighters, that's $200,000. You're talking about a $50 million budget. You know, again, I understand the parameters, the fiscal responsibility. But again, going back to a personal opinion, I would want to get this off the front page of the news. I mean, you're talking about the core responsibilities of local government, police, and fire. Let's get that off the table and move on to some other issues. Like, why don't we have enough sand on volleyball courts at Tom Brown Park, right? Things that really matter, Greg. You know, but instead, we are dragging this on. And now you've got Commissioner Proctor involved. And, you know, Mayor Daley has sent a letter, you know, to the county. And it's sort of,
I see the letter.
Yeah,
right now,
sort of picking a fight with Commissioner Proctor, which is the last guy that I really would want to engage with for a couple of different reasons, which we can get into later. But, I mean, so anyway, it's something that I really wish would get resolved.
So do you think, and let me ask your opinion on this, that you said the difference is $1,000.
I think. That's okay. What I've sort of, I remember that last time we talked about
that,
this.
That the union is saying, all right, it's $1,000, but we're not backing down. And then that they can come up $1,000. It's like you go to a pawn shop and they offer you $1,000 less for an item, and you're like, you're going to walk out of here for this little amount?
Yeah.
Do you kind of see that with the negotiating that everybody's so kind at of some butting
point,
heads
right,
on this?
But at some point, Greg, there are smart people who understand how to make these things look like we reached an agreement that serves both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to come out and say, hey, look, I had to fold. But there, again, there are smart people that can write agreements, provide benefits and salaries to make it look like both sides got what they wanted.
So it seems like, all right, meet me in the middle.
Well, that and, you know, even – but it needs to be resolved. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is – I think that it's starting to border on the ridiculousness side of things. And now it's a little late now because – look, Commissioner Proctor's in a position. He is threatening to get involved. What happens if they settle tomorrow? If I'm Commissioner Proctor, I'm
having a parade for myself.
I'm like, hey, see, I should have got involved six months earlier.
What's next?
So, but in negotiations, Greg, there's always that thing around the corner. You have to decide to cut your losses, or you have to decide that, look, this is a time to get this done. So I don't know. You know, I'm not privy to all the negotiation tactics and the money that's involved. But it seems like this has gone on for way too long.
Yeah, I'm just looking through with a lot of that, and again with so many of my friends that work for TFD, and how this is going on. I haven't really delved into it. I know that you have, and I thank you for telling
us
about what's going on.
There was the city released a rate sheet or an offer sheet that has
Yeah.
And so what I want to do is ask the police union, how would they change, if they could take this sheet,
the fire department,
sorry. If they could take this sheet and change the numbers, what would they change the numbers to? Right. What's their position? So that you're comparing apples to apples, right? Instead of trying to get, when you ask them what they want, what happens is you get things you can't compare. Right. So I would give them this sheet and say, okay, what number would you change? And then report on that. And so hopefully that's what we'll try to do that. So, but again, I don't think it's a big difference.
Doesn't look like. I mean, I see their side. Yeah, I'm looking at the one from the city of Tallahassee with the starting thing. And I know that recruitment is down, but recruitment's down in everything with doing with first responders, TPD, LCSO.
It's down, but it's starting to turn around in Florida for a couple of different reasons that, you know, we've talked about previously. I know that the Tallahassee Police Department is really, you know, is staffing up and hiring people now. So I don't know that, and you know, again, you're right. That could be an issue, but it's, you know, we'll take a look at that. But anyway,
make sure you go to TallahasseeReports.com. Click on the big red subscribe button. $50 a year. You get hyper local news delivered to your doorstep or to your office twice a month. When's the next paper coming out?
Actually, we're going to print it tomorrow.
Nice. We need some new papers in
here. I know. I just saw that.
Everybody's grabbing them, so we need more copies.
I'll get some in my car and put them up there right after I leave, right?
Be right back.
Stop the presses. We'll be right back with more Steve Stewart on The Greg Tisch Show. Extra, extra, read all about it. It's Steve Stewart from Tallahassee Reports on The Greg Tisch Show.
See any creepy crawlers around your house or Rosanna? Call Paul's.
Get them all.
850-386-BUGS. That's 850-386-BUGS. I don't know if Rosanna Arquette is going to be hanging around.
Hey, but if she is, you know who to call.
Paul's, 850-386-BUGS. Call them today before noon. They'll be out today to remove the creepy crawlies or Rosanna Arquette. Because Toto just got tired of her years. Did you know the song was about Rosanna Arquette?
I did not know that.
Your imagination for the day.
There you go.
Lead singer Toto was dating Rosanna Arquette and wrote this beautiful song.
So, which one? The first one or the second one? Was it Bobby or was it Joseph?
No idea.
I don't know.
Do you remember? The lead singer. There are two different singers.
Whoever the lead singer was when this song came out.
Oh.
So we're traveling a lot. We're listening to music, you know, from the 70s and 80s. And I say, you know, I mentioned arcane trivia like that in the car with my kids. And
they don't care.
They don't care. They don't care. My wife doesn't even care.
I care. I love that little. I love that trivia.
Hey,
stuff.
I shouldn't say that. Sometimes she does. She's like, oh, really?
I have a quick trivia question on Toto as well. Did you know that the lead singer, Joseph, has a famous father? Do you know who his dad was?
I don't even know who Joseph is.
Just Williams.
Who's John Williams? Father?
John Williams is his dad.
Who's kinda John cool. Williams?
The composer.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, yeah, he runs in the blood.
Exactly.
Steve Stewart from Tallahassee Reports. And make sure you go to TallahasseeReports.com, click on the big red subscribe button, or stop by the studio when the new papers come in.
Exactly.
Because everybody's been grabbing them.
All right. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Blueprint.
Blueprint. Eight-hour meeting. And people are like, oh, I don't want to sit through that. What is Blueprint anyway? They spend hundreds of millions of your dollars. You should know. But I agree with you. You shouldn't have to watch an eight-hour meeting to get
you
updated.
You can watch that for me.
I watch it for you. It's going to be front page of newspaper. That's like with some major topics. So let's go through them, right?
Okay.
Bragg Stadium, they asked for $15 million to the 10 to renovate.
Phase three.
Yeah, to renovate their stadium from infrastructure funds. Blueprint voted 11-1 no on that. They said, we're not going to give you infrastructure funds, but we might look at the Office of Economic Vitality where the economic development money is. So we'll kick you over there, all right? Bond issuance. They had to vote on when you build these projects and you actually borrow money to keep the work going. Mm-hmm. So every now and then they have a bond issuance. They had a bond issuance for $136 million to finance projects like the Northeast Park, the Market District Park, the Northeast Gateway, Capital Cascade Sidewalks. $136 million. They voted to approve that. So that's two things. Airport Gateway. Airport Gateway. This is where we are on the Airport Gateway. Previously voted to limit the spending on the Airport Gateway from $120 million, which was the original cost, to $85 million. But they did not change the scope of the project. The scope of the project is Spring Hill Road and a new road through Innovation Park. So we've got this loggerhead, okay, that is, all right, we've got $85 million, but we can't, but you know, that we've changed that, but we haven't changed the scope. They tried to get a vote. It was near the end of the meeting. People had already left because they were tired of sitting there for 8 hours. So that's where we are on the Airport Gateway. That will have to be dealt with at another meeting. The affordable housing project. There was a big push by a progressive element in the community.
And Commissioner O'Keefe was
big behind this to add a affordable housing project. It was the hour and a half debate. It was torturous. They voted to start the process, Greg, of adding affordable housing to your blueprint infrastructure.
So it was punted.
Well, not really. It wasn't punted. They're going to start the process. It will take a substantial amendment to add it as a project since voters did not vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to go through the process. It will take at least a year to get back to where you're going to have a majority of a supermajority of the city and the county to get this as a project.
Now, okay, so we don't get to vote?
Well, no, no. Look, we voted in 2015, but what's happened now is the membership of the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency, which is made up of the county and the city, has changed. And they've also figured out that you can do a substantial amendment
with a supermajority
to override voters. And we did that years ago on the Airport Gateway because the original vote for the Airport Gateway was just to beautify Spring Hill Road. Mm-hmm. And then there was a substantial amendment, which everybody was behind, to add a new road through Innovation Park. Well, since then, there have been new elected officials, and people aren't as keen on this new road going through Innovation Park. So we're into the trying to get super majorities to get things changed. Now, other members have seen this happen. And so, look, if the Airport Gateway gives up $40 million, then we're going to see more amendments to get more money in different projects, or we're going to get new projects like this affordable housing project. Now, you say, what is the affordable?
I already seen. Okay, yeah.
So that you say, well, what is the affordable housing project? Well, what it does, proposes to do is the blueprint will be allowed to buy land so that you can build affordable housing on that land. All right. Now, I think this is more symbolic than anything. And I think that if you look at the social media on some of the progressive accounts here. They're allotting this as the greatest vote in Leon County history.
Commissioner O'Keefe.
I think it's more symbolic. I think that affordable housing is a buzzword for an issue that I don't think anybody really has their hands around. Which
about what it actually is, entails?
What do we need? How many people?
Because I could be a crooked developer. Oh yeah, I'm buying affordable housing. Oh well, this is affordable compared to the Northeast
right.
side.
It is a very slippery slope. So anyway, we're going to spend some time trying to look at that. But also on the agenda for Blueprint was those that are upset with how Blueprint is moving forward. They wanted to change the structure of Blueprint, and so they actually got the staff to bring back a proposal to change the structure. They had a vote on that, Greg, and the vote was no, we don't want to change the structure. So the people that are in the minority were very upset about this. But the problem is, Greg, the same majority, we had a majority that said, we're not going to change the structure. We had a majority say, we're going to move forward with an affordable housing project process. Well, you like one of those votes, but you don't like the other. The point on this is when you're a leader, what you need to do is you need to put your best fight forward on what you want. Mm-hmm. And when the majority rules, you need to somehow accept that and take your victories and move forward. And so that does not seem to happen on the Blueprint Committee. It seems to be where all these commissioners come together. And it used to be such a smooth process. Remember, Greg, this started in 2000. It was like we're building roads, putting blue signs up, saying your tax dollars at work. And then now all of a sudden, fast forward to 23 years later, and this is where we are. And it's a shame in a way, but I think we've done it to ourselves. The voters are part of the problem. They voted for economic development money. They voted for these elected officials. So the old saying goes, elections have consequences. Voter referendums have consequences. And this is sort of where we are.
Let's. We only got a couple minutes left. Let's jump back in. And we had talked about this with Terry and Dana yesterday, and even Dana was kind of for this, but districting city commission.
Oh, don't get me started.
You can talk about this tomorrow on your show also, but that it just. The school board used to be all everywhere. It was at large, and then Anita Davis said we need districts to represent each district. And the way I kind of looked at the commission now, they're kind of district. Themselves, even though it's at large, everybody kind of
what's
takes
at large?
The city, excuse me, city yeah. commission. Sorry, that everybody's kind of district on where they live with the at large. If you look at where they kind of
who lives in the Northeast.
No, well, hold on, I'll get okay. to that. I'll get to that. Except for the Northeast,
or actually even really the East.
We got Southwest, Northwest.
Look, go ahead. I'm sorry, your point,
But with Anita Davis, with the former county commissioner, that she's like with the school board that needs the district, worked fine, more representation for that area. But it seems to be that the Northeast is being just almost made fun of.
Well, no,
because
look,
they want districts.
We don't have a lot of time. We're running out of time here. But real quick, and we'll address this.
I didn't mean to bring this
minute. That's all right. The misinformation that's being promoted around town on this issue is borderline on lies and malpractice, and we'll get into that. I have to make some phone calls to make sure we verify some stuff, but we can talk about that. Mm. This committee.
Let's do that next week.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. Do that next week.
Because Anita Davis, she did want more voices from the African American community, and now the ones that are against districting are saying it will take away. But I think they're saying exactly the opposite of what Anita was trying to do for the school board.
Right.
Good seeing you, brother.
All right, Greg. Thank you.
Kyle Kreese, when we get back, she's running. She'll be here. She's hit traffic.
Let's take a look at your total comfort traffic from Berno Heating and Air Conditioning.
Pretty much from Quincy heading east to Capitol. To exit 203. Tons of slowdown eastbound and down on the interstate. Also a ton of slowdown on Monroe Street. Was hearing emergency vehicles out there around I-10. And that's really backing up traffic and slowing down traffic. Northmont Drive, 14 miles per hour, Old Bainbridge and Northam Road, 13 miles per hour, Cher, 11 miles per hour, lots of sirens out there, Capitol Circle Northeast, and Mahan backed up, coming down from the northeast side, Cary Forest Parkway running at 31 miles per hour, Searcy Trace 19 miles per hour, Foxcroft 19 miles per hour, Southwood also a ton of slowdown around there to get it around Southwood 26 miles per hour coming up from Crawfordville, Button Willow 34 miles per hour, so lots of slowdown. The roads are still slick. Stay off your phones. Have your lights on so the other drivers can see you. If you see anything, give Matty Rowe a call, 850-386-8255. That's 850-386-8255.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee, it's the Greg Tish Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Termite and Pest Control, Hearth and Patio, Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Nissan, Blue Halo, QC Kinetics, and Hearth and Patio. And now, they've been bringing beauty to the Tallahassee chain of parks for over 24 years. And she will be bringing beauty into the studio as soon as she gets here. It's Powell Kreese on the Greg Tish Show.
She's fine. We got tons of time with her. She's hit some traffic. So what's going on out of around mile marker 194, there's some activity going on out there. So that's slowing down traffic all the way to exit 203. So please be wary of that. Monroe Street, not seeing anything pop up right yet. Mm-hmm. Looking at the traffic cameras, but there is a lot of slowdown Monroe Street around I-10.
Yeah, that's how good our listeners are. Everybody's been calling and saying, hey, there's something going on. I'm not sure what. I don't actually see any accidents on the notification, but there's something going on.
Yeah, they'll pop up soon. And I looked at Tallahassee Tops also with the online police statistics. It shows real time what's going on over there. Not showing anything yet, but I mean, I just heard the siren, so I know something's going on.
Mm-hmm. So just be patient as you're driving into work. It's going to be a little while, so don't freak out or nothing.
I'm ready for tomorrow. And just because the weather is just going to be so nice. Danielle Kelly will have the official weather forecast at the bottom of the hour. But tomorrow, 56 and 81, mostly sunny.
Yes, indeed.
The 81, okay, we can deal with that.
Your battery's charged up, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the car's running great. So I'm thinking, all right, 56, it could be driving it in the morning.
Yeah. As long as you get the heater running. Yeah.
The heater works. That's the thing that works the best in that car. The air doesn't work, but the heater works fantastic. In some of the older GM models, that there's a lot of vacuum seals and that work. And so your HVAC, your heating and cold, has worked via vacuum.
Right.
And so mine's gone out. So none of my vents in the work except for the defrost.
Right.
So the fan cools through the defrost. The heater comes through with the defrost. But it works fine because it's a convertible.
Right, right.
So it kind of, all that hot air kind of piles up in the windshield and on the dash, and it just kind of creeps back towards you, and it just makes for a delightful experience.
Yeah, because the cool air is going across the top. It's making like a barrier, and so that works pretty well.
And that's the one thing with that car. I don't know what GM was doing back in 82 or 86. I think they started to make convertibles again with the F-bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But that car is so silent. I've been in some convertibles, Jeeps, you know. Hey, Matt! Yeah,
and that's with the top up.
Can't hear over the rattling.
I know.
But with mine, it's just like, hey, Matt. Yeah. What's going on? I mean, I was on my speakerphone, had it in my lap.
Right.
Just having a normal conversation, you know, 45 miles per hour.
That's cool.
And I'm sure on the other end, it may have just sounded, hey, so I hope everything's going well.
Probably.
But it's just great. It's just that time of year. If you do have a convertible, if you don't, I'm sorry.
Yeah, feel bad for your son.
If you do have a, and mine's not pretty. Mine runs.
Yes, it
does. The top. I have to take it down. It's got holes on the top. It needs a paint job. You know, the engine's great. The fuel system's great. The interior's great. But it's not the best looking thing. But it's still a convertible. And I don't think there's such thing as an ugly convertible. If it runs, it drives. It stops.
Mm-hmm.
It's got headlights. It's got turn signals. I don't have a radio.
Yeah.
That's the best part about that car. Well, excuse me, the radio doesn't work. It has a removable dash cassette player.
Yeah.
And back in the day, and you can tell your kids this, everybody, back in the day, tell them, you know, people used to steal radios.
Yeah.
That's kind of a thing that's just gone the way of the dodo.
Mm-hmm.
People going in and stealing your stereo. And then in the late 80s and early 90s, that they came in and they started making these removable and removable stereos.
Mm-hmm.
To where you couldn't steal them anymore.
Well, the goofy thing was, initially it was like the whole stereo. The whole dang thing would pull out
right,
of the dash.
Right, and you had a carrying case with that. Do you remember that? With removable stereos?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay. But then they just did the faceplate. So for a while there, you were walking around with like this mini briefcase that was the entire radio, and then they said, this is really not efficient. So
well,
they
that's when
out
CD players came to be, and then a CD player for your car cost like $600.
Exactly. So then
and
they
you
were like,
had to have an Alpine or a Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would walk in somewhere, and you're carrying around literally, for the ladies, you're carrying around your purse and your CD player.
Yep.
In there. And the guys are literally walking around with bags with their car stereos in them.
Oh, yeah.
To not have them. We're talking about people how that used to steal stereos out of cars.
Yes.
Right.
Now
it was an art
steal the whole car. And I've had mine. I mean, remember when my car was broken into because I went around. I was a big mouth. Oh, guess what I'm getting installed tomorrow? An alarm system.
Mm.
So guess what happened that night?
Oh, yeah.
They broke into the car and stole everything. Let's go to early break. Prowls, and I know traffic was awful this morning. We We were just talking about it.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. We don't have any guests this hour. It's you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So we can just bump
can keep
this
you the entire time.
So let's go early, and then we'll have a chat.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning. Do you need
like
some coffee?
That idea.
I've had enough.
Okay. Be right back. Pal Kreese from Lemoyne Art.
We'll be right back with the Greg Tisch Show on Tallahassee's Real Talk Station, Real Talk 93.3. Real conversations with people who make a difference. It's the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
In studio with us from Lemoyne Art, we have Pal Kreese. Good morning. I mean, officially good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're telling traffic stories.
Yes.
Traffic is definitely heavy out there today. And so you want to give advice, stay off your phones and stay in your lane.
Please
or
stay
pick
off
a lane.
Phones.
Yes.
So exciting. I mean, there's always great stuff going on with Lemoyne, but we're getting close to the big event.
The 24th annual Chain of Parks Art Festival. Yes, it's going to be April 20th and 21st, and we're very excited about this year.
So this is nationally ranked, Matt. Of course, you know, one of the top 100 fine art festivals.
Yes,
this is by Sunshine Art Magazine. It's 11 years in a row that this has been one of the top festivals. And it's such a special thing, and especially this year with our bicentennial, or celebrating our bicentennial, and now having it out in the Chain of Parks. It just, oh.
It's one of Tallahassee's biggest downtown events. We're really proud of it. You know, it's a free event, which is really nice, and it has something for everyone, whereas if you're not that interested in art, there's live music, there's kid activities, there's a bar, so there's always plenty to do.
And so, yeah, and this goes on, and this is not just on like I said, Saturday and Sunday, and what, 10 to 5
on Saturday, okay. And then 10 to 4 on Sunday, just because by 4 o'clock everybody's ready to go home.
At Sunday. You got to go shopping.
Yes.
Got to go get the food for the week.
But year on Sunday, we've got the Rickards Marching Band coming through and Sunday afternoon, so that'll be a fun way to jazz everybody up.
Well, people that for summer, if they just moved here for some reason, haven't made it down to the Chain of Parks Art Festival, tell everybody just a little bit more about the history of this amazing event.
Absolutely. So we are a fine art festival, which is kind of unique for our region. We're nationally ranked, and we get international artists from all over the country that apply and get juried in. So it's a juried show of about 150 fine artists. And then this year we've added a folk art component. So we'll also have a new category of folk artists to celebrate that medium, because we think it's important to acknowledge
it. And you've teamed up with the Riley House on that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We're really excited. The John C. Riley Museum and Center, I believe is their official name. So they're going to be doing a folk art exhibit in tandem with Lemoyne Arts. We'll also have a folk art show that will be about 50% acknowledging folk artists in our community that have passed and deserve to be appreciated. And then another half for contemporary folk artists around today. And the application is still live for that at lemoyne.org if anybody's interested in applying.
Oh, very cool. And this is such a big thing. And also that last year when we were talking about that just getting the cover is a big deal. Anne had
sure
it last
is.
Year.
She did. And this year it's Alester Richardson,
who's
an incredibly respected fine artist. He was our best in show in 2022. He does a lot of local nature and landscape and cultural paintings. And we're really, really proud of the piece that he did this year.
It's gorgeous.
I think so, too. I mean,
last year was gorgeous. I mean, it's not like last year wasn't, and the year before mm-hmm. wasn't, and the year before that wasn't, yeah. but it's – how much fun is that? Or is it not?
Oh, it's –
trying to pick out – is it – because probably like every piece submitted or every piece that you come across mm-hmm. could be the cover.
Yes.
And then you have to choose – it's not that I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
I just like – this one just – it's is that easy or is that a difficult job?
It's very difficult because not only does it need to be a beautiful piece, it needs to represent our community because we do – we're our national festival, so we want to showcase what Tallahassee has to offer. It also has to look good on T-shirts and mm-hmm. posters and graphics like that. So it's definitely a delicate balance. But we went to a Lester studio, and he just had all these beautiful paintings and – we just couldn't decide. And he hadn't finished this one yet, but it was like a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And we just kept looking at it. And I just said, you know, that's it. That's got to be the one.
Am I describe it? Because I'm looking at something and I think it's it, but I don't want to comment yes. on it and then go, it's not it.
So it's Morris Creek. So I don't know if when you were a kid in North Florida, you played around in all of the wonderful little creeks we have, but it represents
you
that.
You still do.
Absolutely. I do. I love walking out in the creeks and stuff. It's fun.
Well, it's so unique to our area, and it's kind of one of those things where if you're from here, you know. But it just really represents that sort of nostalgia for our team, at least. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have had a really strong response to it. Lester's a very celebrated artist.
Yeah, this is, let's see. Okay, here we go. I found that. Oh, I need that in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
That is I just see home.
Yeah.
It's
that.
Gorgeous.
I see my childhood in that. I see Matt's nowish in there. You know, with him going around these I see barefoot.
Yeah.
I can feel the breeze. I can feel the humidity. I can feel the heat. I mean with different parts I can mm-hmm. feel the cold. All
you
in this wonderful picture.
And,
yep. Geckos yeah. and little crawfish and mm-hmm. everything that's out in the water. It's cool.
Yeah, so that's really the big thing is finding a piece of artwork that represents our community but also stirs something in folks and is good for merch. So there will be T-shirts and aprons right. and dish towels and all kinds of things at the souvenir tent.
And I have seen a lot of his work, and he just, oh, yes, a great choice. But again, mm-hmm. a difficult choice.
Very difficult, and you know that's something that we look at every year. Next year is our 25th anniversary, so we're really thinking about what that's going to be.
Okay, I got Matt. Start working on your art.
So you okay.
The 25th.
All right. Yep. I'll get out the macaroni and the glue, and we'll get it all taken care of.
Oh, boy. Can't wait.
And with his art, and I'm on his site just looking through some of the stuff, and then there's like one area. All right, Matt, you're heading down. You need to have – you're heading down to the coast. You're going through what color?
Right.
You go through Crawfordville. You come around the bend,
mm-hmm.
and on the right, there is some place that everybody stops and takes pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What am I talking about?
You're talking about the little knobs right there. I know exactly what you're saying. It's like the little beachfront where you've got the.
We're not down that far.
Oh, you're not that far yet?
We're literally just out of Crawfordville. We're taking a big.
Oh, you're at the little
on the
side
right.
the little side spot the little stop area where you go for like picnics and things.
No.
No. What are you talking about then?
The cars.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. But they've cordoned those off now, right? You can't go in there and take pictures unless you have like a special thing.
Oh, really?
Parking.
Right?
Yeah, you have to like get reservations or something in order to
No, the parking. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I'll check on that. I'll check with the sheriff down there, but the parking because it had such a big drop off.
Uh-huh.
Right.
The cars were getting damaged. I think the property owner was like, "All right, enough of this."
That's how all those cars got there in the first place.
I think every high school art student has gone and taken pictures over there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You have to do that. If somebody's like, if it's your birthday, that is the perfect spot for the white T-shirt or white button-down and jeans
mm-hmm.
family
it's nostalgia.
Photo. Yes. It's just that everybody knows exactly where we're talking about. And that's the thing that I think is also really covered well with this year's cover art.
Yes, we're very excited about it. And, you know, there's going to be another 150 artists there that will have beautiful work from jewelry to ceramics to glasswork. So, and there are affordable price points. That's what I want to always keep in mind. While there are those big fine art, you know, statement pieces, there's plenty for gift giving. That's what I do. I go through.
Oh, you do your Christmas shopping there,
I
pick
out all my Christmas shopping for the year, and then I don't have to worry about it. And then I just like, oh, yeah, I have this already taken care of.
I will take you up on that one year, and I will go and do that because I'm it's almost Christmas Eve, time to go shopping, but I can take care of it April 21st in of next month,
mm-hmm.
Down at the chain of the Lemoyne Arts Chain of Parks Art Festival 24th annual.
There you go. Mouthful.
Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4.
Correct.
With the Marching Raiders.
Yeah, the Rickards Marching Band, we're really excited about that. And then that will also be around the time where all of our chalk artists have finished their three-dimensional pieces where people can come and pose and take pictures.
I was going to ask you about that. Because last year, they were so amazing.
We have a really cool lineup of artists this year, and we've encouraged them to focus on the Bicentennial Tallahassee theme. So they're all doing things that really relate to our community. Mm-hmm. And they already did, but... this is really targeted that way, so I'm very excited about those artists.
That's exciting. That's something where you can with those, because I know when y'all went,
we took pictures with every single one of them. Mm-hmm. My kids loved them.
Me too.
They were so cool.
And that's the great thing for everybody that has kids or knows somebody has kids to bring them down, because you never know what imagination you could spark.
Absolutely. And this year we've partnered with the Retired Art Teachers of Tallahassee, or the RATs, as they lovingly call themselves.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. So they're going to be in our children's park. They're fully revitalizing all of our decor, and they're going to really help facilitate the area and make it extra fun. So we're really happy about that partnership. And honestly, the participation we got this year in terms of people that wanted to apply was amazing. So for pop-up studios, we've nearly doubled how many we're offering for kids. It's free make and take crafts all weekend long. And then there's entertainment down there. We've got five heritage booths this year. So that's all talking about local heritage from different communities.
Oh, I like.
We're really focusing on that bicentennial message.
Oh, which I absolutely love.
Yes. So that's like the main children's area. And there's face paint and stuff like that. But I mean,
adults
there's
too?
Fun. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
You're good.
Yep.
Spider-Man.
Plenty of fun for the adults, too. But the Chalk Art Oasis is something that we've really been building over the last few years. So this year we'll also have a Find Your Chair silent auction that 10 artists are taking upcycled chairs and turning them into sculptures and beautiful pieces of artwork. So I've gotten to see a few behind-the-scenes pictures, and they're going to be really exciting to see. So that'll all be with the chalk art. And we'll have some native plants there from our local nurseries who have donated them, and food trucks, and also live entertainment there. We had so many entertainers apply this year that we had to have three locations.
Okay, was my next question. All right, so we'll have between Monroe and Adams, the main area in there, and then stretching out. Or
Gadsden.
Gadsden. Yeah. Okay.
Gadsden, Calhoun, and
I was saying the main area being right there at the main chain of park.
Yes. Yeah, so but, Calhoun's like the main.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's great.
Yes.
So much fun.
Oh, yeah.
So much fun. And so with the chairs, I'm on the site right now, and I'm looking at that with the upcycled chairs, and then it's just pretty cool.
Very cool.
This is pretty cool. Look at these pictures. Well, the inspirational pictures for that. I mean, just to take something that is an unusual blank canvas, so to speak, and to create art. I can't wait to see these.
Yes. Well, upcycling is a big message for us. We're a green festival.
Very cool. Be right back.
When I go out with artists, they talk about language and the cubas and the daddies, and I try to catch the meanings.
You're listening to Tallahassee's Real Talk Station, The Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
Powell Crease. I talked all over that.
Yes, you did.
It's my first day.
It's okay.
Powell Crease from Lemoyne Art, and we're talking about the 24th annual Lemoyne Arts
Chain of Parks Art Festival.
I have it right in front of me, too. So April 20th and 21st, and it will be from 10 to 5 on April 20th and then 10 to 4
On Sunday.
With the Raiders, James S. Rickards High School Raiders marching band coming out. And I mean, but there's going to be so much stuff to do. Tell us about the community corner.
Yeah, so for the last couple of years, we've had a little section on Gadsden Street called, with Community Partners, which are nonprofits. They have like a little booth to talk about what they're offering. But this year, we had so many applicants that we decided to make it a bigger deal. So we've moved it over to be on Park Street over by Aluso. So it's a main entrance of the festival off of Monroe.
Nice. And okay.
We're going to have the Black History Alliance there. They're bringing the FAMU poster contest that they do every year. So it'll be a big presentation of artwork from local FAMU students. And then we'll also have Sustainable Tallahassee there, Rags to Bags, giving out free reusable tote bags for everybody to put their artwork in.
Hey.
We've got DEP coming, COCA with the Arts Alliance. So it's just going to be a really, really good group of people. We've got the Tallahassee Symphony there, so it's just going to be a really informative space.
Now, Powell, you've been talking a lot about some of the different artistic pieces and all of the different booths and things like that, but mm-hmm. there is one certain set of art that I really do appreciate when I go to the chain.
All right, we're scared.
Tell me about the food trucks.
Oh, gosh. Again, we had so much participation this year. We have 18 food trucks this time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and they're all different. That's like an important thing 18? When selecting them. So wow. There's a barbecue food truck. There's an Indian vegetarian food truck. There's a juice bar. So there's healthy options, and then there's also, you know, the wonderful fried food that everybody loves.
Yum.
Yes.
So see, that's an art form in and of itself.
It really is.
Figuring out what sort of delicious things you can fry.
Exactly.
And it's like a surprise in every bite. You're like, ooh, Oreo. So that works.
Yes, we'll have Love Girlies there with their fried Oreos and lemonade.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
They sure are. So they'll be in the Chalk Art Oasis. So we've got our food vendors spread out so that if you're stuck down a road and you're very excited about an artist, but suddenly you're really hungry and you need a little break, there will be food.
Right on.
So so the stage has got the three stages, the main area, mm-hmm. where you walk in, you'll have your main stage there looking down towards the old May Oak.
Yes. So we'll have the big main stage in our center court, and that's all local performance groups. We've got some student groups like Young Actors Theater, but we've also got more like jam bands and things like that. So that's cool. Our main stage. And then we also have a performance area in the Chalk Art Oasis to keep that area lively mm-hmm. and upbeat. And that's more like singer-songwriters and smaller acts. And then the Children's Park, where it's a little bit more geared towards kids, but it's family-friendly. It's just a nice place in the shade to rest and let the kids run around.
That's cool. And what I also love more about this is that with the nonprofits that are there, you can come mm-hmm. down to help y'all, and then you can learn more about others in our community.
Yeah.
And go and help them. And, I mean, well, just getting involved with y'all, if people want to get more involved with Lemoyne, how can they do so that they have that spark, or they have
right.
it's something they may have set down their brush or their clay or whatever their artistic mm-hmm. outlet was, may have set that down years ago, but it's something they want to relight that kiln.
Yes.
They want to oil up that brush again. How can Absolutely. They get involved with Lemoyne?
So I always encourage people to just become a member. Our membership is a very reasonable rate, and that sort of lets you know everything we're doing. We've got year-round classes for adults, teens, and kids. I mean, the camps are selling out immediately, so definitely keep your eyes out for that. But we have rotating exhibits and special events that go with each one of those exhibits, like muffins and mimosas and things like that, artist talks. And then for the Chain of Parks Art Festival, I always say that volunteering mm-hmm. is a good way to get involved, because it's a really easy gig, and that really gets you a lay of the land and the footprint, and gets an opportunity for students to get some community service hours.
Or producers.
That's true.
Or that.
So I always voluntold him with the hardest job. So whatever the hardest job is that you need for the volunteers,
yeah.
I'll volunteer, Matt.
I'll be the food taster. I know it's a hard job, but...
Well, we do have to have somebody that goes and makes sure that the food vendors are following our greening efforts that we're doing, so we don't allow styrofoam. We really encourage them to not have a bunch of single-use plastic and things like that. So they all sign a greening agreement, and we have compost collections and things like that. So
Matt would be happy to help with that.
Yeah, sure. Now, one of the nice things is that also being in the Chain of Parks, it's nice and shaded throughout the entire area, so there's not a lot of sunshine. You can walk out onto some of the other streets and get some of that sunlight.
Yes.
But then again, if you do get too hot, I always love to just go down to the Lemoyne Gallery. Because it's nice and air-conditioned. You walk in and you can look at all the art inside. You mm-hmm. walk back out into the gardens. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a nice respite. And we'll have a beautiful folk art exhibit. And I know people really love Mary Proctor's work. So there will be mm-hmm. plenty of her stuff. She's going to have two booths at the festival this year now that we've opened up the folk art category.
Wow.
So that'll all be along Gadsden leading to Lemoyne. And that's definitely nice and shady. We love being around our big oaks and showing off how beautiful Tallahassee is. We're really... trying to encourage folks to learn just what we have to offer.
We're chatting about the Chena Parks Art Festival taking place April 20th and 21st down at the Chena Parks. Go figure. That's why we named it. It's the 24th annual, and a lot of bicentennial celebrations going on with the chalk art. With, I'm sure a lot of the artists will be also focusing on, I mean, the special year here in Tallahassee.
Yes, and the Find Your Chair sculptor artists get a bicentennial bonus if they do a bicentennial theme.
Wow. How much? Yeah. All right. So I know it's difficult to choose that cover art, but how much fun is it to have everybody running towards y'all saying, we want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of this. And with it getting larger and larger each year, that's got to just make you just literally just take both of your hands and pat your backs.
It's very exciting.
But it's also a lot of hard work.
It is, but I'm very passionate about it. And once you're there and you see how happy everyone is, it's very rewarding and it makes it worthwhile. But honestly, everybody's so nice to work with and just anxious to help and participate. It's really hard to turn people away. But at this point, you know, we've got our setup laid out. But I get calls every day now. Just please, can I be part of it? And I say next year.
No, that's not, is that too, it's too late for this year.
Yeah, I mean, we're still
other
accepting
volunteers.
We're definitely taking volunteers, and we still have room for a few sponsors, but in terms of vendors, we are at capacity. We have never been so full before, so it's going to be really exciting.
That's so cool.
Nice.
That's so cool. 18 food vendors.
That's right. And I'll be trying every single one of them.
And, you know, live local performers in all three corners and just so much art to look at. And even if you're not that interested in art, it's a good way to sort of dip your toe into that water and maybe become a collector.
Oh, I have been. I mean, I've started in the last year or so I've really started looking more at art and buying different artworks and stuff. And then I don't have any display. I have a couple of them displayed, but I have this collector's room that I have. Now I have an art corner.
That's wonderful.
On that, and it's been the most fun because now I know what to go. I've learned a little bit, just self-taught, and what to look for. I mean, heck, I even look for frames because frames can be such a good addition to that piece of art. Mm-hmm. And a cheap frame is usually on a cheap piece of art, but not always.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it takes a your own tastes, and that's what's nice is we have such a variety. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I go into a lot of local establishments, and they have, like, terrible art from, you know, a box chain store, and I just look at it, and I go, oh, that's such a shame when you could shop locally and support local artists and then really show your patrons what you have to offer. Just anytime I'm in a doctor's office or a coffee shop and I look around, I'm just like, where's your art? You know, because it does make people feel calmer. It's one of those things where it's easy to underappreciate an original piece of art until you actually get your first piece, and then it's like an addiction. You just can't stop thinking, oh, gosh, I have room for a painting there, and, oh, I really like that coffee cup, you know, rather than buying one at Target. You can get one that's originally made.
And it's conversation pieces also. I mean, that's what art drives conversation, but if you have that local art in your local office or your local whatever office that people go, who is that? Oh, that is local artist so-and-so. Right. Let me check into that.
Yeah.
I mean, word of art instead of word of mouth, you know?
Right.
That it is that conversation piece to find something. Because that my mother, I remember I own it now because she had redecorated it, but she had a sketch of the Capitol and right at the new Capitol.
Okay.
And somebody had sketched it, had some beautiful birds flying in front of it. And it was a beautiful piece of art framed in the living room for years and years and years. Now I have that. And I have that sitting in my living room. And it's just, I mean,
and it's meaningful to you.
It's awesome because it's local and it's not a print that she bought from a big box store. It's just local art, support local art.
Yes.
It was great seeing you.
It's so good to see you. Thank you very much. April 20th and 21st, chainofparks.com.
We'll bring you back as we get closer to
Good.
Don't get on the interstate.
Oh.
Bad accident. Exit. Guess what exit?
209.
203.
Oh, 203.
203. Bad accident. Right two lanes. Exits are blocked. They're not even allowing people on the interstate right now.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Exit 203. I know PJ Shaw from the FHP is just shaking her head. As am I. Always 203.
Yep.
Everyone stay calm.
Yes.
True.
Gonna be away from the radio? Be sure to listen on RealTalk93.com or download our Real Talk 93.3 app today.
Welcome back to the most exciting morning show in Tallahassee, The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe on Real Talk 93.3.
Yeah, thanks. I just got a text. Yeah, the mile marker at exit 199 right here at Monroe closed down.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on I-10 right now. It is not pretty.
Makes me nervous. Everybody get off your phone.
That's my way home.
That's probably what happened. Somebody was messing up on their phone.
So American, I told Pal, like, stick around, have fun.
Yeah.
All right, Americans, they've been showing the most futuristic things that they've seen in another country that they wish existed here.
All right.
So they've seen some different things over there, and they're like, why aren't these in America?
Mm-hmm.
One, at the beach. So this person went to Aruba, and there's a machine there, and it's like a self-tanning machine.
Mm-hmm.
That when you go in, and then the machine comes and puts a self-tanner all over you. But this is sunscreen.
Oh. Okay.
And so you stand in this little booth, and then it sprays sunscreen all over you.
Wow, that's smart. When you said that it was a suntan thing, I was like, isn't that called the sun?
Right, yeah. That's the solar-powered tanning booth.
Exactly.
The sun.
No, but that's actually a genius idea.
Yeah, you throw that down at St. George or something, right by the little public entrance there,
yeah.
The park, or at the lighthouse.
You're not kidding. I mean, you could charge a couple of bucks for it just to have the thing squirt out the lotion on you. You're all set. You could pick which, what SPF you want and everything.
Nah, see, I'm thinking of me owning the vending machine. You're only getting one SPF, and that's 1,000. If you want something lighter, you can bring your own. But if you're using my machine, I'm not coming through filling up the different SPFs.
You push a button, and a sweater just comes out and gets put on you.
Full zinc.
Now, Matt, with you living overseas, with living in Korea and Palau, mm-hmm. you might have heard of this, but I don't understand why they don't do this. That handles on pizza boxes.
Yes. And now I know exactly what you're talking about.
That
the box is actually designed.
Uh-huh. That the box is designed and it has a carrying handle on top. So you don't have to carry it with two hands. You can carry it with one hand.
That is clever.
It makes it very easy to carry around your pizza, which is very nice. And even if you don't have the handle, they have like this knot that they make on the pizza box. Like they take it and tie it up with string. So you've got like a handle that's already on there.
Hmm.
But the concept, I've used those before. It's a brand or a franchise called Pizza School that does that in Korea. So you can just carry it along.
Yeah. I'd like to go to pizza school.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's like a donut, like carrying a Munchkins box.
Exactly.
A Dunkin' box.
Exactly.
Something.
That's exactly
But for pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. This is in Romania. Also, that I'm sure that Japan has these because Japan has vending machines for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Vending machine for books.
Oh, I love that.
Ooh. That is cool. I like that idea. Because with all of the different subways and the different public transportation, a lot of people don't want to talk to people, and it's usually relatively quiet. Yeah, I know. It's amazing. But when you go on in another country, you'll see the majority of the people are sitting there either playing on their phone or reading a book or reading a newspaper, listening to music. There's not a lot of talking going
on. God, if we have those in Tallahassee, I'm sure that my sister's going to text anytime now and go, well, you have those. Well, we have amazing libraries.
We have sharing libraries.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the other one that's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We actually have a sharing library at Lemoyne.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
In the Netherlands, there's a swing, an adult swing, like a playground swing.
Okay.
That you can swing on, but when you swing it, you're generating electricity to charge your phone.
Hey, that's smart.
So you're doing an activity to charge your phone.
That's brilliant.
I do like
I
that.
I saw something. I was watching inventions last night on YouTube, and they've created a piece of flooring that when you walk, you basically moonwalk. You don't go anywhere. So you can stand and walk in place, and the floor moves with you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I was like, that would be fantastic for teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you can just literally walk, and then you can hit a button, and the floor goes back to solid, and you can go. But then I thought, what if you fell? Whoa, you're just back and forth.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the kids would be entertained. They'd be like, yeah, go, teacher, go. They're like trying to get their balance again. That would be awesome.
But is there something that that y'all have seen? Like, why isn't that more popular here?
The recycling go back programs. I love those where if you bring your recycling back, you get money back. I saw one of those in Germany.
That's always
people
nice.
Were lined up with bags of recycling and they were getting their grocery money.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
That's smart. That's real smart. I mean, if you've got it anyway. why fill up the landfills? Take it back to where you got it from and get some money back for it. Exactly. That works. I like that idea. I like that concept.
Norway's got self-driving buses, and but the buses are for, they're small. They're not, they call it a bus, but it's for two people.
Oh.
Okay. So it's a ps.
It's a B.
Yeah.
It's a B. So that, but then inside that they said that the videos of the city and would you like to go there? And you can just tap on the screen if you want to go and try something. I wouldn't trust the Johnny Cab yet.
No.
But that would be cool. Matt, what Korea, what, I mean,
Korea
would being such a tech leader.
Korea is very much a tech leader. There are so many different things. One of the things that was kind of surreal to me was that you can rent a car from your phone. So what you do is, what I did when I went there last time was I was with my wife at the time and we walked up into a parking garage. And on one of the floors, one of the levels, all it was just cars for rent. And she went, okay, I'm going to get this one. Boop, boop, boop. And the door unlocked and we just got in.
Huh.
And that was it. And I was like, you don't need to talk to anybody or do anything. And she goes, no, you just hop in, we go. And that was literally what we did. It was actually pretty incredible.
I think they got that in Chicago.
Yeah. And it was surreal.
Well, it's like with bikes and scooters here, just go and scan it and get on.
Same idea, but this is like for a whole freaking car. So you can get a car if you need it, and you're ready to see the town, which is really cool.
Yell out for Andy.
Andy?
Welcome to the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food on the Greg Tisch Show. I'm Andy Cohen, agent with Florida Farm Bureau Insurance. Please give me a call at 850-877-6581 for all your insurance needs. Now, spin that wheel, Maddie.
Today on the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food, we've got a gift card to Sliders, a sandwich revolution manor at Midtown. I know, right? We're trying to come up with what would a Tallahassee food be.
Oh.
I know.
Looks like Joe Beavis is our winner today. Joe, good job.
Joe, and the reason I'm saying that is because I would put down the Mutton Jeff Slaw Dog.
Yes.
It's like but they now call it the Mutton Jeffersons with the original Mutton Jeff's recipe at Sliders of Sandwich Revolution, and Joe can get that.
That's right.
Because he won the gift card there. Tomorrow, giveaway.
Absolutely.
Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Five prizes giving away. We'll be playing our movie game. I play a quote from a movie.
We still need to figure out a name for the dang thing.
Come up with a name.
Yeah.
The movie quote game?
I mean, name that movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
something like that.
Boy, that was him saying, no.
No, it's not me saying no.
That was Matt going,
well, see, I play that game a lot at home. I'll be singing a little song or say a quote, and I'll be like, name that movie. And my husband almost never gets it.
But I quote, like, the dumbest movies.
I do, too. Mm-hmm.
Or just the dumbest lines from the dumbest movies that nobody's ever watched.
All right, give me one.
I can't now.
Oh,
yeah. Way to put him on the line there.
Well, I figured he had an arsenal full.
No, it just has to be. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Y'all be better people today than you were yesterday. Everybody else, you do the same. We'll see you bright and early. Giveaway Thursday, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., right here on Real Talk 93.3.
Hey, thanks for listening to your Wednesday edition of The Greg Tisch Show. The Front Row Knowles. They are on at high noon today, and they will tell you everything you need to know about Seminole sports, and they'll save you a seat. That's the Front Row Knowles coming on at noon right now. Brian Kilmeade. Bye, everybody.